views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
The Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. It is Wednesday night. Oh my God, please forgive my voice. I am still suffering from this crud. Can you hear me well, Featherlight? Welcome in, Featherlight. Namaste.
Namaste. Yes, I can hear you very well.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Hey, how you doing, Scotty? Namaste to you.
Greetings, ladies. Good to hear both of your voices, and you sound pretty good to me. Both of you do.
Oh, okay, good. We have new headphones, so we're getting ourselves set up.
Yeah, so, I thought it sounded better, a whole lot better. So, yeah, that was a good investment. Hey, I'm sorry. Did I just mess up the intro music again?
You know what? I didn't hear it because I didn't have the headphones on. We were trying to get set up.
Okay, well, we're just going to forget it then.
But I'm sure it was fine, whatever you did, Scotty. I'm sure it was just fine.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So welcome in. We are back, everyone. We've been away. Excuse me. You'll still hear a little of my coughing. I do apologize. This little crud stuff that's going around, this is horrible. This is some horrible mess, and I am convinced that all kinds of chemicals and God knows what else is being sprayed on us and injected in our foods, because this doesn't make any sense how people are sick just all around the country. This is horrible, and this stuff stays with you. I mean, goodness gracious, I have been on the Asian pho soup, homemade chicken noodle soup, ginger, you name it, lemon, Vicks Vapor Rug on my feet, on my chest, behind my ears, up my nose, just everything. It just gets worse and worse by the day. I just don't know what to do. I was talking to my friend who's of Mexican heritage, and she was like, girl, yeah, get you some of that Vicks Vapor Rug. You know, we use that for everything. And she said, stick some up your nose. So I stuck some up my nose. Hell, I'm still so that's a lot.
I know that it is different because I'm usually able to fight it off with all my little natural home remedies. And I have the herbal cold tea, and I have the real moulin, which is in the muesli that they sell at Walgreens. Mm-hmm. I have the real moulin herb. And I'm drinking it and drinking it, and I'm like, I still have it. That's very unusual for me. Mm-hmm. Very, very. Mm-hmm. I'm usually one, two, three, you know, or even not even get it.
Yeah, and I actually started on this early when I felt it coming down. I started with the vitamin C and the tea, the cold tea, just all the herbs, everything. I actually did start on this crud crap, but anyway, we will still keep on pushing and fighting, because tonight we have a great guest tonight, Shadow the Filmmaker. Tonight we're having Spirit Talk with filmmaker Shadow, and I'm really, really excited about hearing him speak about his film. It's a sci-fi action short film entitled Secret Agent S, and there's an acronym, LSTN, and we'll let him tell us all about this film. And when I spoke with him, he spoke about like the metaphysical principles or elements of this film. So I was like, oh, okay. Now that I really would be interested in. It has a twist to it. And it's basically, well, I'll let him talk more about the film. I don't want to give it all away, because I want everyone to stay tuned in. And tonight we will honor Marva Collins. I think we may have honored her previously, or we thought about honoring her. I didn't find her in my notes, but she's worthy of definitely another round of giving honor to, because her educational practices were superb and should be emulated and duplicated throughout the country versus what's going on in some of these schools. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Marva Collins is who we will honor tonight. And I hope that we can get to this letter tonight. I am, even if I just have to read a synopsis, brief synopsis of the letter, because it ties in to what we're talking about tonight. Also, after our guest, we will discuss sexual assault. But we're going to talk about sexual assault that primarily involves Black women, because Mother Hattie of Women United is actually starting a campaign to address the sexual assault that Black women have experienced for centuries. Not for days, years, weeks, months. We're talking about for centuries. And not just Black women, but young girls, because young girls were often brutalized and raped just like women. Mm-hmm. So we need to bring that conversation to the forefront, since we're talking about sexual assault. And the fact that, what's his name, Weinstein, the Harvey Weinstein, when all of this came out, how he or his team, he and his team attempted to discredit Lupita, what's her name, Lupita Nyong'o, like, oh no, I didn't rape the Black girl. I might do something off. Because she's not rapable. She's not a woman to be raped. I mean, he was like very dismissive of her claim. And she's the one that actually like wrote out a detailed accounts of her experience. And she's just not some throwback woman. Like some people just may want to discredit. So this is an acclaimed thespian. So to just be so dismissive of her is very, very obvious that you're dismissing her claim of rape because she was the Black woman. We are going to have that conversation and continue that conversation. Mm-hmm. Right now, let's just open up with a quote. I have a quote, Feather. Well, it's an aspirational statement, I guess I could say. All right, here we go. Set goals that scare you and excite you at the same time. Set goals that scare you and excite you at the same time. So go for it.
Go for it. I like that.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That's what goals are for. They're not supposed to be comfortable. Not supposed to be so achievable. You could do it with your eyes closed. So here's mine. The best things in life are not things. The best things in life are not things. I need to send that to a few people I know.
The best things in life are not things.
Sometimes people
best
get
things in life are that. Free. I need money. Yeah. Okay. So, thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much. Do you have another one, or is that your quote?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I know sometimes you do.
Whose dream are you living, if not your own?
Whose dream are you living, if not your own?
Are you living, not your own? If you're not living your own dream, you're living somebody else's.
Mm-mm.
You're making theirs come true.
Right, and at this time, it is time to live. We're of the age of living your own dream. Your own dream. Live your dream.
Remember when you were a little girl or a little boy, and you had this dream to do this or do that or be this or be that, and you swore that you would make it come true. And then you grew up and you forgot about it. And you became involved in somebody else's dream. Don't disappoint yourself.
Don't disappoint yourself.
Follow your dream.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen this like a pin, I think, on Pinterest that states, do something today that your future self will be proud of.
Or I like that.
Be happy about. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hmm. Yes. Speaking of which, I did see another pin on Pinterest about an intention box. So, yesterday, I went out to Hobby Lobby. And Hobby Lobby has so many different things. I mean, I haven't shopped at Hobby Lobby in a long time since Hobby Lobby was caught up in all of that birth control controversy. Some years back, Hobby Lobby didn't want to provide birth control to its to their employees. But anyway, so I purchased this cute little green box, what do you call those?
Like a treasure chest.
That's what I'm trying to say, like a treasure chest. Cute little treasure chest, small box. And I am designating that box as my intention box. So last night, I wrote out 3 intentions and I placed them in my box with some gemstones. And I used the green adventuring gemstone. And I also have a red jasper and an amethyst. If we have time, I have to read more about this green adventuring, because I think that I would like to start sharing with our audience just a tidbit on gemstones, because that's a lot of hidden knowledge, not a lot of esoteric information that has not been explored as much in our community over the past, I would say, maybe 7 years or so, 7 to 8 years. I've been seeing more and more Black people like outside of cultural communities like Atlanta or something like that, or New York. I've been seeing more people become familiarize themselves with the powers of gemstones and how we use gemstones. And I remember when I was using gemstones and making a lot of bracelets and jewelry, and I would talk to women about the gemstones, and they were swearing down that it was some witchcraft, it was some hoodoo and all of this. And I was like, well, you go to church, right? And I would have to show them, like in the Bible, references of gemstones.
Right.
When Aaron and Moses and all of them were crossing over and traveling 40 days and 40 nights through the wilderness, they had those same, these gemstones in their breastplates. And so I would actually know all of those scriptures, because I would have to rebuttal them and enlighten them more. So not just necessarily rebuttal them, but enlighten them that these are gemstones that are in the earth. This is from God. It's a part of earth. And we are supposed to use these gemstones in our lives. And we wonder why we're going through so much, because we're not utilizing what has been presented to us, what has been given to us for protection, for health, for strength. Just so many different properties, right, that these gemstones have. So
because they have energy.
That's right, they have energy. And that's why if you go into a museum, people, when you go into these museums, or let's see, a science, a natural science museum, you will always see one of those large cutouts of amethyst, because it's so powerful, and they cost a grip. The small ones run in about $300-$400. Yes, I've seen some that go up into like the thousands, like $5,000. So they're very powerful. Very, very powerful, and we really, really, really have to tap back into that information and that knowledge. Did you want to share something else before we move into the hot topics, Feather?
No.
Okay.
Gemstones. You were just mentioning that could be under a new topic that I was thinking about having called "Did You Know?" So
did you know?
Just little blips of, like what you just said. Don't have to go into a whole lot of detail, but it's a lot of information out there that is being hidden, it's been lost, we've forgotten, and so just did you know?
I like that. And speaking of did you know that Reggie Ussay, he was known to fans as hip-hop podcaster Comeback Jack. He died today after his battle with colon cancer. And he was a father, a husband, and he was only 48 years
old. 48.
I mean, we have some young people leaving us today. And I think that he had tried to change his eating habits and everything, and was trying to do some herbal treatments and also a traditional medicine too, but he was also editor of the Source magazine. He was a marketing executive. Also had a stint at MTV. So let's see, he represented Jay-Z, Damon Dash, Capone, and Noriega, and Rockefeller Records during the 90s. So we want to send out our condolences to his family.
I tell you, the colon is nothing nice.
Keep your colon clean, people. Keep your colon clean. Keep the colon clean.
There's a quote that says, "Death begins in the colon," and it is so
in the colon.
True. That is so true. Because your blood has to pass through your colon, and if your colon is full of toxins and poisons, guess where it's going? To all of your organs.
Yeah, so make sure that you are eliminating. If you are not, change your diet, cleanse your system, stop eating, stop packing food into your system for a few days, clean it out with some melons, some liquids, and give your system a rest and let your system heal. That is so important.
Some smoothies.
Yeah, you can have some smoothies, do a master cleanse. There are all kinds of detoxes that you can incorporate. So, but make sure you're flushing your system. Flush your system, please, people. Please.
That's so like now, I was watching. Flush your vehicle.
Radiator flush, carburetor flush. It's all the same. Yes. System flush. You're flushing your system. Ridding your computer of viruses, same thing with your body, rid your body of all of those parasites so that you won't have any virus, that you will not have any viruses. Absolutely. So I mentioned this to you too, Featherlighter. I started back watching a little Netflix, gave my little fire stick, whatever thingy, gave it a break and watched a little Netflix since I was stuck in the bed sick. So I came across this new Netflix original series called, I think it's called True Confessions. So it's this particular series is about people that have been coerced or manipulated into confessing to a crime that they did not commit. Mm. And there was one particular story that really stuck with me. All of them were just heartbreaking because the people were actually railroaded and their rights were violated. But one particular story stuck with me because it happened in D.C. and I kind of sort of remember this case, but me not being in D.C., it didn't impact me as much, but apparently it really rocked D.C. at the time. And there was this lady named Catherine Fuller. I think this was 1984, so that was like right around the crack epidemic. So these young boys, just like the Central Park Five, these young boys were charged with raping, brutally raping and killing this woman. The difference in this case is this woman was killed. Central Park Jogger wasn't killed. But anyway, so these boys, two of them were teenagers, two of them were considered special needs. So the police officers talked to these boys, coerced them into a confession. They didn't have their parents, didn't have their lawyers, told them they were going to help them, and had these boys confessing to the crimes. And the other boys, they weren't that much older, the other guys that were charged. So the police had them confessing to this crime that they did not commit, because they drew out these pictures to the special needs boys, a picture of a pie, and telling them, now you can either take the whole pie or you can be a slice of the pie. So basically trying to tell the young men, either you can take the fall for the entire crime or you can just go down for, say, being a witness, something like that. Oh, you just hit her, you just kicked her, but you didn't rape and kill her. And so these young men, they were thinking, well, oh God, I've been here all night long. I don't know what's going on. Let me go. You know how they do. So if I just go ahead on and just say I did this, just give them a story, just go ahead on and tell them what they keep telling me, then they'll let me go home. So I think it was one of the young men, I believe his name was Calvin. He was, again, so special needs. Or I don't know how to really say it properly, but due to his special needs, okay, he thought that after he confessed that they were going to allow him to go home. So that's just how he did not know what the heck was going on. He did not have any legal nor parental guidance. But see, my thing is this: the prosecutors, they also withheld evidence, and since the police coerced this confession, and they knew that these boys did not commit the crime, because one boy, one of the special needs young boys, described the woman's shirt being ripped off of her. But guess what? She didn't have a shirt. She had a sweatshirt. So when they found her body, her sweatshirt was just raised up to her chest. So when the young man said that, oh yeah, Johnny ripped her shirt open, they should have known right then, you know what, he doesn't know what happened. Right. And you know, yeah, we kept him in here without his parents, without a lawyer. Right. We've been telling him that this is what happened and this is what, I mean, they were wrong. They know they were wrong. So my point is, my thing is, how come these police officers aren't at a minimum just fired? But they're allowed to keep their jobs because they're concerned about the homicide numbers. And so it's just horrible. I wish we could talk a little bit more on that, because there's so many cases like that. But we do have a guest that will be calling in soon. And I did want to go through a few more hot topics. But if you get a chance to view that on Netflix, do check it out, True Confessions. True Confessions, and I think it's like the third series. And the cops actually tried to say that these boys were a gang, but they actually lived at 8th Street and H Street, which was a main like intersection there in DC where people would meet in that area. So they would just call themselves like the H and 8th Street crew, but they weren't like a gang, like what the police were trying to pin on them. Label them as. Whew. So I just wanted to mention that under Know Your Rights. And Feather, we were talking about this. Parents please talk to your children. Talk to them tell them if they ever stopped by the police, that they have the right to an attorney. They don't have to say anything. And if they are underage, the police needs to contact them. They do not need to say anything at all.
They don't have to say a word.
No, go ahead on and get arrested and go to jail. Go, just go ahead on, because then they'll be trying to say, oh, you're resisting arrest, and then they try to shoot you, kill you, beat you, whatever. Excuse me. So they're still going to arrest you. Just go ahead on and go and fight it later. But make sure that the young people know that you have rights. And that's why I love that Colin Kaepernick is having this join with this Know Your Rights campaign, or has this Know Your Rights campaign. It's so important for us to know our rights. You want to share anything on that, Heather Lott?
Oh my gosh, I had this, I think I've mentioned this before, but I took a few paralegal courses and I bought a couple of books, but they helped me so much in just knowing my rights, because I almost got railroaded by some lawyers who thought I did not know that they could not mess with government money. And they were taking my money. I was unemployed. And they were taking my money, my unemployment check, because I owed them. But I just happened to know that this was illegal. I went down to the courthouse. I didn't even get a lawyer. I asked the clerks, what can I do? Because I had read in the book that I could squash it. So I said, how do I get a squash? They gave me a form, $15. I went to court, represented myself, and they had to put that money back into my account. But the same thing happened to my daughter. I told her, you can reverse this. This is illegal. We have to know what our rights are and use that and share this information with your children, because it's up to us as parents and mentors to help our children, to teach them what we know and pass this on down to them. Don't send them out into the world with all these wolves unprotected. So that's
unprotected. Oh gosh, yeah. Definitely don't let them go out here unprotected. Prepare your children. Prepare them. Prepare them for what we are dealing with out here. Mm-hmm. It's a mean, cruel world. It can be a mean, cruel world. But just remember, it's your world, and you create your reality. Speaking of which, P. Diddy is creating his own reality. P. Diddy said he wants to purchase the Carolina Panthers. There was an article, I think, in Yahoo Sports today stating that P. Diddy and Colin Kaepernick were meeting with investors in their bid to purchase the Carolina Panthers. I wanted to hear what Scotty had, what Scotty thinks about that, because he's up there in North Kakalaki. So after this Carolina Panthers owner, one of the owners, Jerry Richardson, resigned over sexual harassment allegations. And also, he was supposed to have made some racial slurs also.
Yes, he did. He so called now he's somebody the N-word.
Hey, Scotty.
He's called somebody a
he
nigger.
He used the N-word.
Yes, he called him a nigger. He sure did.
So. No, he did say the N-word. N-word.
Yeah, because when I say the N-word, that really doesn't relate to the audience. What was said, he didn't call that African-American the N-word. He called him a nigger. You know what I'm saying? So
he sure did. He called him a nigger.
Yeah, he did. Mm. But my thoughts on P. Diddy and even Colin Kaepernick said, you know, he would like to be part of that ownership group. I mean, how I feel about it don't matter. If they can do it, do it. This stuff about just so he can give Colin Kaepernick a quarterback job. Look, we already got a Hall of Fame black quarterback already. And no, we don't need another quarterback. And I just don't like the way Diddy frames this when, you know, it's like he playing on black people's feelings about Colin Kaepernick and whatnot. you know, and I hope it that he is serious, and I think he is serious, and it's not just going to be him by himself, because that man, while they describe him as the owner, he owns 48% of the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. He has the controlling stake.
Okay.
So that's what's for sale, 48% of the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see P. Diddy, Colin Kaepernick, Steph Curry said he might be interested. I would love to see these black entertainers and NBA, other pro athletes. Yeah, why don't y'all do that? It's about time.
Yeah, it is our time. And Master P had expressed interest previously, so I'm sure that they've connected with him or will connect with him as well. So go for it. They should. I mean, they can put their money together. That's what the white man do. They put their money together and buy teams and buy businesses and stock shares and all that. So why not? Go ahead. Yeah, do it. They have enough money and power and connections. They should. So we'll see. So we'll follow this story and see what's going on. I'm just wondering, you know, I'm not Cap, so I really couldn't say what, if I would even want to go back on the field or what, because that's not my dream. That's not what I've prepared myself for all my life. So quickly, though, before our guest comes on, I did also want to mention a couple of quick stories. I just had to laugh, though, about this, what Snoop said. Snoop Dogg said about George Zimmerman threatening Jay-Z. I thought that was just so silly. You know, George Zimmerman has been a constant public nuisance, just constant, okay, since he came on the scene and killed his poor child. And so Jay-Z is a part of this docuseries on Trayvon Martin. And apparently the crew interviewed Zimmerman's, I think, ex-wife, and Zimmerman, George Zimmerman, who killed Trayvon Martin in 2012, February. He declined to be interviewed. But he said the crew was harassing his family. And, he's just said some things about Jay-Z and said that he knows how to handle himself. And he's been handling himself since February 2012 and all of this. So Snoop Dogg came out and said, if George Zimmerman touched one hair on Jay-Z's head, that the revolution will be televised.
Will be.
Excuse me. He said the revolution will be televised, baby. I said, well, okay then. Well.
Some heads rolling.
Oh, some hands roll. Look, it's going to be some slow singing and flower bringing if my brother-in-law starts ringing. Okay? Shoot. Wait a minute. What can Lil' Kim say? Let me get my rap game together. What did she say? I have your family. So, what was I can't get it together. But anyway, it's going to be some slow singing and flower bringing. We know that. So, but anyway, yeah, but on the real tip, though, that's a threat. That's actually a threat. And I hope that this threat is being taken seriously, because he continues to lodge these threats against people. And this is a high-profile businessman that has a high-profile celebrity wife with two new babies. So their safety is paramount. So I hope that this threat that George Zimmerman has lodged online will be taken seriously and he will be handled. So that's insane. That's just insane. And he shouldn't be allowed to continue with these threats like this, especially against somebody like, against anybody. But I mean, we're talking about this. You have to take this seriously when you have so many people that come after celebrities and just common people.
They're crazy. They're crazy. Yeah. So look at John Lennon. You know? Well, you can. Mm-hmm. Crazy stalker.
Yeah. Did anybody hear about that signage in Lubbock, Texas? I did see, I believe I saw this video. This young lady was talking about it. So in Lubbock, Texas, which is, I think, maybe like about two, maybe 3 hours from this Galveston, Houston area. But there was some signage which read Coon Chicken Inn, which was an actual restaurant in the 1920s, but it was closed due to the name no longer being accepted. But there's this restaurant. Let me see, what was the name of this restaurant? Cook's Garage. Cook's Garage is the name of the restaurant. And so they had some signage in front of the restaurant called with Coon Chicken Inn. You know, one of those relics that they like to keep. So let me just share with people about Lubbock. Now, in Lubbock, when Obama was running for president in, what was it, 2012? Yeah, in 2012. Lubbock is where, and I think this made national news, Lubbock is where they wrote on his signs, coon and nigger. On those yard mm-hmm. signs, yeah, all through Lubbock. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of place. Yeah, Lubbock is known for that. Just look at the name, Lubbock. Don't it sound racist?
Yeah, Lubbock.
Lubbock.
It does. Lubbock. It really does.
And that's how they say it.
Lubbock.
Texas.
It has a low energy.
Oh my God. It speaks trailer trash, racist, Confederate flag. Lubbock. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so. I'm not surprised to hear that about Lubbock. Lubbock is one of those places like Jasper. Yeah, it's one of those places like Jasper, Texas.
It's a sundown.
If you're black, why do you live there? Why do you even live close, anywhere closely, anywhere contiguous to Lubbock? Okay, no way in the world. There are places around here in Texas where you know if you're black, you better travel through there quickly. And travel through there in the daytime because they still have sundown towns around here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They sure do. But yeah, I just wanted to share that little quick piece because I did see some people discussing that online. So let me just see. Let's see here. So I'll share this story about this black girl magic. To briefly, as we wait on our guest to call in, this young lady, she's from Ghana, and her name is Mamie Biney, and she became the first black woman to qualify for a U.S. Olympic speed skating team. So congratulations to her. She's only 17. She's a teenager. Native of Ghana.
Right.
Yes. So congratulations. Yes, and her father was very, very, very supportive of her. I heard he had his signage in the stand. Let me see. What is it? Let me see if I can put. He said, "Kick some hiney biney," and that was the motivation. Yeah. She was in need of to win. So congratulations to you. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
So now let's bring our guest sister. In. Yes, go sister. Black girl magic all the way around. Yes. And speaking of black girl magic, let's talk to a black filmmaker. I'm so into filmmaking. I'm learning about filmmaking myself. And we have some film projects in the work as well. But tonight we want to talk with a brother by the name of Shadow. He's going to talk to us about his sci-fi short action film. Welcome in, Shadow. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can hear you. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time to come on and speak about your latest project. And so we would love to hear about it. But first, tell us, who are you, what you all about, and tell us the name of your project.
Okay, I am a music artist and entrepreneur from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I have a company called Shadow Worlds Entertainment Group, And we have been doing music and film and comic book types of projects for over 10 years now. So the newest project that I'm working on is a musical short film called Special Agent S, Lady Spend the Night with Me. And right now we're doing a Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign to raise the money for the shoot. And it is going to be a sci-fi action spy movie. So it's going to be starring myself as Special Agent S. And we're going to do a lot of really groundbreaking things. It's going to be a lot of action. It's going to be a lot like how Michael Jackson did Moonwalker, where you have a mix of music and you have live action. So it's a really aggressive project. I have some really good actors on the team and a good crew on the team as well for this project. And we're just going full steam with this.
So, you know, with a lot of films, sometimes the storylines with black films can become a little trite. It's like, I know for some films, you have the same storyline of, oh, it's this crazed, what is it, like the Fatal Attraction, some couple and there's some other person, some outside person is trying to break up their marriage. And I get so tired of seeing that storyline. If it's not that storyline, then it's the storyline of something's going on in the church with this family and they fighting and all this, and, or it's something with street life and drugs and all this. So when I heard this about your project with a sci-fi action and musical, and I love music and I love sci-fi, I just started watching, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but Mario Van Peebles has a sci-fi, a film on sci-fi called Superstition. And it has a little action in it. And I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, wow, Mario Van Peebles in a sci-fi movie. So I haven't finished watching the first episode. I think it's been about 6 or 7 episodes, so I have to catch up. So, but I was just really, really pleased to see that your film, coming from a young black brother, you have this sci-fi film. And I know that you spoke also about some metaphysical elements that may play into this as well. So could you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. The storyline has a lot of really deep metaphysical roots, like we were talking about earlier. I channeled a lot of stuff from the teachings of Dr. Phil Valentine, you know, Bobby Hemmett, Brother Panic, and a lot of esoterical knowledge about awakening, about raising the frequency of the planet, about our people waking up, becoming more aware, and becoming clear of who the real enemy is, breaking out of the matrix, you know. So those are some of the underlying themes behind the story. And another thing we wanted to do, and me especially, I wanted to make sure that like you said, it's not like the same old cliche story, like you see, you know, no disrespect to some of the black filmmakers that are out there now in the industry, but, you know, they're kind of redundant with, you know, slave movies, you know, gossip movies. All those things keeps the black community at a low vibrational level. It doesn't help us elevate. We need to see more positive images. We need to see black men and black women in more leading roles, doing positive things. We need to see black men in a masculine light. We need to see black women in a feminine light. We need to see more positive stuff, more positive reinforcement. because I'm really hip to how the mass media is controlled by corporations and it's controlled by, you know, the elite out there, the evil ones, you know, and they have you know, universal, they have mind control over a lot of our people, and they control that. So, and unfortunately, a lot of our black actors and actresses, they're inside of that industry, and a lot of them who have already made a name for themselves, they may not necessarily have the power to go ahead and stand up, but somebody like me, who's a young black entrepreneur, I don't have any fear. We're starting from the grassroots level, and we have the support of people. So we're in a great position. What's that?
So you're independent of them.
Right. Of the control of the system. Right. I'm like Morpheus outside of the Matrix. I'm the guy, I'm like Morpheus tapping into the Matrix to go wake up Neo.
Ooh, so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good comparison to where our position is and what we're trying to do. And I got some great help. I got
Talk
a great cast of
yeah. Tell us about your team, your cast.
Right, I have some really, really great help. I have some really, really great actors. Ian Maurer, he's going to be playing the villain, one of the main villains of this particular this story, this segment of the story. He's going to be playing Big Boss, and he is on board with this positive message. He gets it, you know. And he's a white Caucasian male, but he's on board. He's on board. He understands that we need more positive images, you know. So, and he's actually been in many films already. He's if you look up his name, you can go to our Indiegogo page by simply going to www.lstnwm.com. That'll bring you to our page, and you get to see our full cast. So we got Ian Maurer as Big Boss. We have a very talented musician herself, Miss Devin Papillion, as Agent P, and she's going to be like a Pam Grier type of character. She's going to be like a Black Coffee kind of character, where she's also a secret agent who is aiding Special Agent S in his missions. And you know, there's love interest in the story between the two, but also there's also a respect and a camaraderie. She can hold her own as an agent just as good as Special Agent S can, you know. So, you know, I can't really give away the script, but you know, there's times when we have to go save her, but she can handle her own, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of cover the strong black woman vibe, but she balances out Special Agent-ness with femininity nonetheless. So
yes,
it's a nice balance. It's a nice balance going right there. And then we have a supporting actor by the name of Black Zion. He's also a very talented hip-hop artist from the East Coast, from Virginia, and he's going to be playing Agent Black, and he's like the cocky sidekick, the comic. He's smart-mouthed, quick to say something, but he's also, he can hold his own as well. So we got a nice balance between the cast. And then finally, we have two more actresses on the team who are going to be some of the lead roles. We have Miss Jules Nobles, who is going to be playing another villain by the name of Daziva. And DeZiva is, she is very, very elusive in this first installment. She's going to be, you know, very sexy, you know. But we got a lot of character development to do with Jules Noble's character. She's going to be showing up in later installments of the series. But she's a very powerful character as well. She's also a very, very strong image for a black female role. And her character, that name, we got that name from a African goddess. So it's a lot of really cool things tied into her as a villain. And finally, we have Miss LaTanya Coleman, and she's going to be playing Simi, which is Special Agent S's artificial intelligence assistant. So kind of like, you know how you have your iPhone and you talk to Siri or you talk to Cortana? That's what that's what Simi is, but she's more advanced. She's kind of like, you know how Tony Stark has Jarvis when he's inside of the Iron Man suit? You know, have you seen Iron Man?
I have not.
No.
No. I'm familiar with it. I'll have to watch that one. Iron Man, so is that with Robert Downey Jr.?
Right. In the Avengers.
Yes.
In Marvel. Iron Man, when he's inside of his suit, he can talk. He has this, a computer inside of his suit, and he talks to his computer, and his computer is named Jarvis, and he can ask him anything, just like you do with Siri. You know, you know, can you turn on the lights? Yeah. Can you unlock that? Can you call in this device? Can you know? So that kind of Simi is like, you know, this movie is very similar to James Bond, since we're like, you know,
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I used to watch a lot of James Bond, so I was just thinking about that right when you mentioned James Bond similarities.
So Special Agent S is like a black version of James Bond. So he's got gadgets.
He's got
the cool car. And he's got superpowers too.
And you know what? It's so good to start seeing films that are showing black people with superpowers, because rarely do you have that opportunity to see a character like Wesley Snipes played in Blade, or what was his name? Michael J. White. I think he played, I can't remember the character. With Michael J. White, he was like a superhero, and so we need to see more of that and more love interests and family, the family connection in our films. I really, 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 really appreciate that, and I'm so glad that you have not only like the superheroes, but you have some sci-fi, and then you've incorporated the music as well. So this seems like it's just going to be a phenomenal, like you said, groundbreaking project. And I hope to see more projects. And so this is just going to be like the first series. So you will have more to come.
Yes. So this is going to be the first installment of a series of short films that are going to cover the life of the Special Agent S character, and we're going to go, this is where metaphysics comes in really, really heavy. So his past plays a big role of him really remembering who he really is, and his inner self, his higher self, led him to become a special agent to fight evil. And there's a reason why. When he gets into more challenges and he keeps encountering tougher and tougher enemies, from this evil organization that they're up against, that the Shadow Riders army is up against. He is going to get into situations that are going to challenge him and put him in tough situations that make him have flashbacks, and those flashbacks are going to help him remember where he came from, and his lifespan spans for millions of years in the past and millions of years in the future. Now we're stepping into the metaphysics of the soul, the metaphysics of ancient Kemet, how the ancient Kemites understood that there was more to life than just, you know, being born, living, having good things, and then dying. There's more to it. There's, you know, there's stuff after this life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he's remembering who he is and where he came from. And the challenges that he faces jolt those memories out of him. So he's like having amnesia, but over time, after missions, he's waking up. And when he has flashbacks, we're going to go back into the past and cover his life, you know, way back in the past, during the time that there were pyramids, you know. Mm. We're going to focus on that. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to jump way into the future, and we're going to explore the possibility of what this planet would be like if we had peace and prosperity without capitalism, without oppression, without, you know, the system, the global system of colonialism and, you know, white supremacy and every bad thing. Let's explore if we had the best technology, if we didn't have pollution, if we didn't have the perfect society, you know, what would that look like in the future? Mm-hmm. And so Special Agent S and his army of Shadow Riders are going to fight to bring that future to manifest, to fruition. So we're going to follow that whole span over many short stories.
You know, when you speak about like going back into his past life, the first time I ever heard anything about like past life regression therapy, like going back into your past lives so that you can see how you've become the person that you are now, or how that past life plays into your current life. I was in Florida. I was living in Miami, Florida, and there was a lady offering those classes. And I think that that's so powerful and so profound that you're incorporating that in the film, because sometimes we're not familiar with that type of knowledge and information and the therapy of how that can help you in life when you know that or open to knowing that you had some other lives. This, just as you were mentioning, this is not your only life. This is what some people believe. This is not your only life. You have lived multiple lives, and you will continue to live multiple lives. Some people say until you learn all the lessons that you designed for yourself to learn and experience. So I like the way that you are incorporating that into this film. So this character will be able to go back into his past life, past lives, and then we'll be able to see him come back to the current life. Oh my God, honey, I'm just all super excited about this film already.
Yeah, it's a special twist on how we're going to do that. There's something special about him, this character, that allows him to do that. And he still hasn't, by the time he gets to, you know, we take this story, the timeline of Special Agent S, Lady Spend the Night with Me, happens in today's time. So by the time he gets to today's time, he still hasn't unlocked his true potential, but it's beginning to awake. and we see some of those superpowers awake in this first episode right here. There's times when he's gonna use it to beat the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Hold that thought. Let's take a break and let's come right back with Shadow speaking on his new sci-fi action musical short film. We'll be right back. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we'll let you know how you can contribute to their project. We'll be right back after this break.
Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, we're back, and you are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And we have Shadow, filmmaker Shadow, on the line with us tonight. And you're telling us about your film, and it's a musical, it's going to have action, short film. This is the first installment of a series. Tell us the name of the film again and how people can contribute, please.
Yes, the name of the film is called Special Agent S, Ladies Spend the Night with Me. And you can contribute to our Indiegogo campaign by visiting our website at www.LSTN(WM)Mary.com, and that will take you to our Indiegogo page, and you can become a backer and help us back the film. We have lots of really cool perks, like we have early access rewards, special thanks in the film credits. You can get an official film t-shirt, you can get an autographed movie poster, you can become an associate producer of the film, a co-producer of the film, or an executive producer of the film, depending on how much that you contribute. So we have been running this campaign for a little under a month now, and we've already raised $265, and our goal is $5,000. So really looking forward to all the backers that are going to come in. This is going to be a really great project, and there's going to be more to come. We have lots of really cool things in store.
Right. Well, Mind, Body, and Spirit just donated, so we are officially a contributor to LSTN. Ladies Spend the Night with Me, LSTNWM campaign on Indiegogo. And it's really simple.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, I've donated to Indiegogo. I've had Indiegogo pages. If you have not donated to an Indiegogo project, it's super simple. You can use your phone, go on there, a couple of clicks, enter your information. You're done in like 5 or 10 minutes. 10 minutes max. I mean, like 5 minutes. It should take you only about 5 minutes. And you can do it. So, like, hey, go ahead on and do that. Doesn't take long. We should support each other. I'm always saying that, and I hear so many people complain about films, or this film did this, or it didn't do that, or this person didn't do this, or why don't they do this? We have to go ahead on and do that. If you're unhappy, unsatisfied with what you're seeing on your television screen, then learn how to produce some films, and you go out there and you do it. Because people have films on YouTube, start Indiegogo pages to fund their projects like Shadow, and you can do it. If you have any social media following, if you don't build it and get your followings and your backers. And speaking of which, I wanted to ask you this, Shadow, before you leave us. What have you learned in this process of producing your films? And also, how did you go about casting for this film project?
Okay, first of all, what I've learned during this process is really to trust in your team, really trust in your team, and listen to the fans, because we almost just kind of put this on the shelf and didn't touch it, but over time, the fans, like one fan was like, hey, why don't you just give it a shot one more time? You know, because we really want to see you do this. We know your heart is into this, and, you know, we'll back you up. So, as a matter of fact, that one fan that told me, his name is Justin King, and he's like one of the very first supporters. And he was like, man, just, you know, try one more time. Just give it one more time. And I was like, you know what? I'll give it one more time, because in the beginning, because we've been working on this whole idea for over a year, just to get it off the ground. And you know, like you were saying earlier, the industry really beats you up. So I was taking a lot of hits, and I was exhausted, and I was like, man, maybe we just got to put this on the back burner and try some other time. And you know, Justin was one of my fans. He's like, man, just try one more time. And one of the people on the team, I got to give her a special shout out. Latricia Benson, she's going to be in charge of the film crew. And she's with a film crew called Dottie Nation here in Dallas, Texas. She echoed what Justin said. She was like, hey, I'm just checking on you. I know you're busy, but, you know, if there's anything I can do to help, you know, get this thing off the ground, just let me know. And that touched me. And I was like, okay, these people actually, they believe in what I'm trying to do, but I have to trust in them and push one more time and trust that when I jump out here, you know, when I go lead this charge, because that's what I'm doing, I have to, you know, when you're a leader at something, you have to go be a pioneer when nobody else is in front of you. You know, you have to just jump out there. And so I had to really trust in my team, you know, and know that when I jumped, they were going to be there to, you know, keep pushing me up. And so when I did it, everybody who was on the original team, with the exception of a few guys that fell off, everybody got re-energized. And everybody was like, okay, good. You know, some people were like, we thought you were going to give up. And I was like, nah, I was just trying to figure out how to reassess and go at it again. It was just taking me a while. And so they were like, you know what? We got you. You know, if anything we can do to help, let us know. And everybody has really been doing their best to help spread the word. And you know, some of the team actually threw in some money. So I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Because it's like in the black community, you kind of get this vibe like, oh, I got to do everything myself because nobody's going to do it for me type of vibe, right? But teamwork makes the dream work, I'm telling you. So that's number one thing I learned, to really trust in my team and give them a chance to really show up and show out. You know what I'm saying?
Shadow?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
This is Feather Light. I've been trying to work with my equipment, but I just wanted to say that I am so proud that you're taking on this project. I love your cast, the collection that you've put together, the positive energy. It's you're all on the same high vibration, so that will send you to higher heights because of the great collection of energy that you've got going. And there's so many of us who complain about the different images of black people that they see on TV, but they do nothing. They do nothing but lip service. But you are doing something. You're doing something about the image. And I love the message. I love the fact that you're incorporating different elements of entertainment and edutainment, mm-hmm. Enlightenment, and you're sharing knowledge. And I will definitely contribute as well. And I know we've got some great audiences out there who are listening and who are ready and willing to help you with this, because it's a good thing for us. It's a good thing for people, for humanity, period. Because I love the whole message. So congratulations. Congratulations on your project. And you are going to do so well.
Yes. We'll tweet out the Indiegogo page also on our Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show page. Before you leave us, just one more time, tell people how they can follow you and also contribute to the project, because we want to make sure, you know how people have to go get a pen, write it down, go get their little notepad, phone, or whatever. So just before you leave, if you could share that information once again, because I want to follow you also, and I think you do have that on the page, how people can follow you. But while I have my Twitter page up and all that stuff, let me just go ahead on and follow you now. So how can we follow you, and how can people contribute?
I wanted to put in one more thing before I give my social media tags. We're actually having little contests inside the campaign where like Mission One, like we want people to like, you know, dress up like special agents and video themselves and then tag us. And we can use, we're planning to use like, you know, you dress up in all black and some shades and like a water gun or something and pose and give us your best special agent pose. And I can do that.
Baby, I'm about to give you Charlie's Angels. I'm about to give you, I'm about to give you Foxy Brown. I'm about to give you coffee. Uh-huh. I'm about to give Oh, yes, honey, I can do that. Okay, I got you. And so where do we post this?
All the information, like the hashtags that you use, are on the Indiegogo page. And so we have three different contests, and we stage them as missions, like you're a special agent. So the first mission is a dress up like a special agent and videotape yourself and then tag us. And then the mission two is, you know, do a dance crew routine, you know, to the track. We're going to release the movie track, the soundtrack, and you can do a dance to the track. And then the mission three is, is like the car club thing. So you get, like, if you got your, you know how James Bond has his cars, you know, for pose in front of a car, like you know, like your Michael Knight in Kit, you know. Let us see that. So all that information on those contests. And those contests, you can do those. That's another way you can contribute, just by participating in the contest, because that helps to generate awareness for our campaign. So make sure you check that out. Go to the Indiegogo page and go to the overview, and you scroll down. After you read the short story, it says bonus missions, and then read those bonus missions and pick which one you want to do and get involved.
And get involved. Okay. Perfect. I love it. I did too.
All right, so I'm supposed to tell you my social media. So you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shadow Music. It's simply spelled S-H-A 2-D's. So that's S-H-A-D-D-O-W-M-U-S-I-C. So if you go put that little at sign in Shadow Music, I'll pop up on Facebook like that. I'll pop up on Twitter like that. And I'll pop up on Instagram like that.
Okay. I just followed you on Instagram. Okay. Follow you on Instagram. Yay. All right. Yeah. And then I'll follow you on Twitter as well.
Perfect. YouTube. If you want to follow me on YouTube, you have to just search Shadow the Music Artist, and my YouTube channel will pop right up. You got me on YouTube too.
On YouTube, okay. Shadow Music Artist, okay. So Shadow Music Artist YouTube, and then for Instagram and Twitter, Shadow Music at Shadow Music.
Got it.
We can find you. All right, then. Well, we'll have to have you come back to talk about
definitely
each of the promotions, because I know my picture is going to be hot. So,
yeah. So we got to get you guys to come out to the premiere screening. We're going to do a premiere screening at the Magnolia Theater in Dallas with the red carpet and everything.
Okay, and when is that?
We're slated to do that at March. We're projecting to be done with shooting and have everything ready by March. So for more information, just go to www.lstnwm.com.
Okay. Say it again, but this time say N is in Nancy, M is in Mary, like that, because I'm not hearing it clearly.
Okay, for more information about the film and all the updates that we're going to do, our contest and stuff like our premiere screening at the Magnolia Theater in Dallas, Texas, you want to visit our website at www.lstnwmmary.com.
Got it.
Love it. Thank you so much, Shadow, for your time. We definitely want to have you come back on and share with us more about your upcoming project and projects, your future projects. And we hope to see you in Dallas then. I mean, that's up the road from us.
I feel your energy is wonderful. It's great.
Oh, yeah. I'm fired up right now. You have no idea.
Great.
I know.
Yeah, we'll have to get you down here in Galveston also.
I would love to. I'd love to come down there. We could do some collaborations, whatever. Just let
Absolutely.
Me know.
We'll do that.
Thank you so much again. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come on your show and talk about my film. I really appreciate it. It means a lot. Thank you.
Good. And of course, before the premiere, we want to have you come back on before then so that we can remind people to get out, support. And so we can get some gear. We can get our little super agent gear and all of that stuff. We want some Shadow gear and LSTNWN gear and all that. We're ready for a super agent S. Love it.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, thank you, and we'll be in touch.
We certainly will.
Okay, thank you.
Best wishes to you and much prosperity. Yes, namaste.
Namaste, raising the frequency.
That's right, raising the frequency. Raising the frequency, always. Peace.
Peace.
And that was filmmaker, musical artist, Shadow. And I am looking forward to that film, sci-fi, action, musical, short film. That's what we need, because people are always complaining about what they see on TV or what they're not seeing on TV. Well, this is a film by a young black brother, and we can support it. If you're into sci-fi, you may know someone that's into sci-fi. Go, take them, go support the film, or just contribute to the film. You may not be into sci-fi, but contribute to the project, because guess what? One day, you may have a project that you want people to help you with. So,
I tell you, I have learned a lot watching sci-fi myself. I love sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's a lot of messages that are in these movies. Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of messages.
Mhm. Speaking of which, I just want to segue on into Next topic, speaking about sexual assault, but let me bring in Delta. Delta's joined us. What's up, Delta? How you doing, Delta?
Hi, Delta. Oh, how y'all doing tonight, ladies?
Oh, great. Doing well. Doing well. How's everything in Mississippi, in the great state of Mississippi?
Going very, very great, and this is a great subject you talking about tonight. I'm ready for this one.
Oh, yes, indeed. So, sexual abuse, we really just have to keep talking about sexual abuse. And so tonight we're just kind of touching on it a little bit. But we've talked about sexual abuse, and we are going to continue to talk about it. I'm just glad that it's become a national conversation. But what's left out of this conversation, but it's about to start. We're going to have more conversations around Black women and sexual assault and sexual abuse. So let me just give out this phone number before we get started, just in case somebody just has a notion to say, hey, look, I want to tell my story. I need some help. I want to speak with someone. You can call RAIN, RAINN.org, and that's the National Sexual Assault Online Hotline, and it's 1-800-656-HOPE or 1-800-656-4673. And so we know, like, I think it was this week or the end of last week, the allegations against Tavis Smiley came out. I think it was the end of last week, yeah. Tavis Smiley, Russell Simmons, and so many others. I think Chris Matthews. And just so many people now are being accused of sexual assault. And so much of this has been going on. And I know when I've been talking to some other Black women, and we were just talking about how we've been experiencing this, I mean, in our lives.
Right.
As long as we can remember. And we know that it has happened for centuries with Black women ever since we were forced on slave ships and raped when invaders came. And it is still happening on the continent of Africa and all around the world. You have so many African women that are sexually assaulted and not just women, children as well. So many children. I was reading this article today. I was reading a story about Reese Taylor. Democracy Now! Had a great story on Reese Taylor. She was gang raped by 6 white teenagers that were never prosecuted. Never. This was in Alabama. Never prosecuted. And Rosa Parks was actually the investigating person for this for the NAACP rape crisis. So, just listening to this woman's story, because she's still alive, and some of her family members, they're still alive. But just listening to her story and to know that this happened to so many women, and this happened in 1944, and this was a time when it was almost legal, it was accepted, it was common for Black women,
the standard,
and young Black women, it was the standard
and accepted.
Black girls, standard and accepted for Black women and Black girls to be raped. You could be raped. In fact, young white men were encouraged to rape a Black female before you go off and have sex and get married so that you can practice. So they were taught to practice on Black women. So they would just drive down the road, see a young Black girl, take her and rape her. And it wasn't like you could just go to the police station and say, oh, I want to report a rape. The McCarthy boys just raped me. Because half the time, they were friends with the sheriffs, or it was the sheriffs raping. So in this case, with Reese Taylor, the six teenagers that raped her, threatened her, of course, and they told her, you know, don't say anything else, we'll kill you. But she did report the rape, and the sheriff, he ran Rosa Parks out of town and harassed this woman and her family as well. So there was no recourse. There was nothing that we could do. And so for generations after generations, we just continued to do this.
Don't forget that part. They bombed her home.
They bombed her house. They bombed her house. Mm-hmm. So for generations, we just accepted this. I mean, not necessarily accepted it, but we knew that there was no help for us. Because in one particular story that I was reading, a group of white men came to this family's house to take the 14-year-old girl away and rape her, held the mother and father at gunpoint. So sometimes you may say, oh, I would have done this and I would have done that. They're not coming in their house taking my wife. Well, they did it. Right. They did it because they were holding other family members at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about how we've heard stories of how they would come and take your children out of the slave cabin or take your wife out of the slave cabin, and this man coming, and he, the master son or master whatever, come in and rape a woman and tell the husband he need to step outside. Can you imagine? Somebody tell you, let me, you step outside while I rape your wife.
Wow.
And so this is what we've had to continuously deal with. Yes, and hearing those screams. And so we've been left out of this whole conversation about sexual assault. And what was so insulting and egregious is when that Harvey Weinstein acted like, oh no, I didn't rape the black girl. No, I might have raped everybody else. What's her name, Delta? Lupita Nyong'o? You know who I'm speaking of?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That is hard.
And so he was just like, mm-mm. Yeah, like, no, yeah, I made it to the other one. Exactly. But I want to read this little piece right here. Just on sexual assault. Sexual assault, a general term that includes sexual harassment, unwanted sexual contact, child sexual abuse, incest, and rape. Sexual contact becomes assault when a person is unable to or does not consent to an activity. Rape, a crime of aggression, power, and control in which one person forces, curses, or manipulates another person to have sexual intercourse without their consent, and it includes vaginal, oral, anal penetration, and also forced oral sex. Now, I might add to this rape something that my aunt used to speak on. We as women are raped in more ways than a sexual rape. We are raped emotionally. We're raped when people take from us, and they don't give anything, and they drain you. They pull from you. She used to say that that's rape too. And at first when she used to say that, I was like, what the hell is she talking about? But the more I thought about it and she would explain it to me, we just don't have enough time for me to go into all of that, but I'm sure some people get it. It's rape when someone takes from you without your consent. They're raping you or something.
Yes.
Raping your essence. And that's basically what she was trying to explain to me.
Yes.
And when people rape from you and assault you, that's hurtful and it's damaging.
Very hurtful.
And it affects people in different ways. So I just want to share those definitions because sometimes
I want to share this right quick. I think we have half a minute left. Some people don't think of sexual assault that it's a sexual assault if there's no physical touch. But on my job, on one of my jobs, my manager, he was the director, and I was the sales manager. I happened to be the only black sales manager, period, in the hotel business. And I rarely saw another black sales manager at that period. So it was very unusual, plus I was a female. He would make racist jokes, which was really just, you know, unbearable. And I felt very uncomfortable about it. He made a Ku Klux Klan joke. He wrote a cartoon on the table and said, "What is this with these cones in a circle?" And it's Ku Klux Klan looking down at a nigger. I'm like, does he know I'm sitting here? But then when he said something about Pocahontas and her vagina, and he looked square at my face when he said it as if to dare me, "You better not say anything," and he kind of smirked. I felt like I'd been, to a certain degree, raped, because you're saying this to me, you're looking at me, and you're talking about a woman's vagina, and then you're laughing about it, and you already just said the nigger thing. So and at that point I said, I've got to say something, because he's going to continue on. I'm like 36 or whatever. And I went in and I sat down and I said, I really felt uncomfortable. I tried to be as professional as I could. He then commenced to really raping me, taking me through all kinds of horrendous matters at work, to a point that I actually had to go to human resources. Further than human resources, corporate. It was Holiday and Crime Club. So it was corporate. I had to really bring some lawyers in. But that, to me, was a type of a rape, because that was sexual. So I just wanted to let people know they don't have to physically touch you. That was assaulting to me. It really was.
I know it was. I think we have a caller. Let's take caller. L.A. Ramon, you have a question or a comment?
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Excuse me, ladies. I'm sorry. I had to step away. And I'm enjoying the show, and I love listening to y'all. Like I told you, I could drink and sit back and listen to y'all. That's what I'm doing right now.
Well, good.
Wonderful.
I didn't get in on the conversation early, but I did like that article you read about the help me out there, Black Rose or Feather Light. The
Reese lady that was raped?
I'm sorry.
The lady that was gang raped?
No, not that one. It was just, you just read it probably about 2-3 minutes ago.
Rosa Parks, I think that's what you were saying. But that's the same thing.
Okay, I guess,
and I mean, I can carry on with what I was going to say. It's pretty easy. One thing I did wanted to say is, I think your platform is a great platform for an idea that keeps coming up in my head. I was wanting to know if you would help me and some other people. I think we should add that Me Too hashtag to every photo and post we come across that specifically shows Black people being put in those type of positions. I think we deserve to put that we should hijack that hashtag. And we probably should add to it, you know. I'm sorry,
and
go ahead.
Then I thought, while he was saying that, like, well, another thought just came to me. They saying Me Too. But we can add to this one and say, it always been us too. You know, like some kind of way, like it always been us too.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also add in, I'm sorry, ladies, go ahead.
No, go ahead with what you're saying, because I can share this. It's in line with what we're talking about. I'm so glad that you brought this up, Ramon, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we can even append it and add stuff like she won too, he won too, just to kind of emphasize that, you know, we're going to have to figure out how to steal this narrative back, because I've seen a real major power shift go down with that Me Too, and it was such a simple phrase. And neither one of, I feel like our community could have capitalized on that as well. We should have got on board and started sticking our storylines into that, you know. When, I mean, it ain't a time we want to be data mined, but that's one time you want to let data mine do its thing. Because if we can get involved in that type of strategic way of dealing with the internet and places like, you know, we're going to need to learn how these platforms really work to utilize our voice, especially since we're up against things that are going to change the open internet. You know, who knows, next week I might not be able to listen to y'all as many hours as I want to, but I'm always be here. Point is, we got to try to use what we can and that we have at our fingertips. And I thought that Me Too hashtag kept sticking out to me. It said we should hijack that and place our names within every story, post, video, conversation you can find. Because the phrase to me, or the term to me, Me Too, is all inclusive. And I think, you know, what you ladies do on this show is one of those shows that could help strengthen that movement and push it forward and try to add to that cause. And I did want to ask you, ladies, how are y'all doing down there in Harvey? Down there in Houston, I do try to keep up on the conditions. Last I checked on Empire Files and talked with some people damn near still living on the street out there. So I did want to ask how y'all doing out there. So, and I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that you asked, but before we go into the Harvey situation, I'm glad that you brought that up, because everything is really lining up. Synchronicity is happening, because this is what I've been thinking about, how we need to amplify our voices in this whole Me Too. And then my friend, Mother Hattie, who often comes on the show, she was going to come on tonight, but I think she must have gotten held up in a meeting. But she sent me a statement through her Women United organization, and what she is getting ready to push for, Ramona, you'll be happy to hear this, and it's called, and I can send this to you, I'll post it on the BTR page, Reparations Not Now But Yesterday. And I'll just read this quickly, I know we're running behind. But today, in commemoration of International Human Rights Day, this was December 10th, we invite you to join us in a campaign to bring the light and education to those African Black women and their ancestors who were placed in slavery, raped, harassed, beaten, molested, and mistreated from the time they left the shores of Africa to present times. Connect with us today on social media to demand that we get compensated for all the mistreatment and suffering caused by those corporations who participated in this behavior. We are human regardless of what some think. Redress must be acknowledged and addressed given the current plethora of similar issues involving sexual harassment. Repairing the damages done will not be an easy task, but we are prepared to release a plan of action to start the process of atonement to the Black women who are products of this devastation. Let's just think of Sarah Bartman and countless other African Black women. So we're actually holding a conference call on December the 30th, and we're going to come up with our hashtag, as you were mentioning. We were trying to think on it a couple of days ago. So if you have some ideas, that'd be great, Ramon. But we do need a hashtag like this Me Too, and we are going to put this out front. I know NPR wrote a recent article, I think like on the 13th, about how Black women have been left out of this conversation. So there are people that are thinking along these lines, thank goodness. So all we have to do is just connect. And yeah, that's her name. Thanks, Otis. Yeah, Tarana Burke or Tanya Burke, something like that. I know it's like Burke. Excuse me, the founder of the actual Me Too hashtag before hashtagging became popular. And we spoke about this before, too. Tanya Burke started that campaign in response to a young Black girl that had shared with her that she had been sexually assaulted. And in some of my readings, I found that most Black women, by the time they're 18, 40% of Black women, by the time they're 18, by the time they turn to the become the age of 18, they have been sexually assaulted.
Yes.
And I know I'm one of them.
Me too.
Look at you, right? See, here. Me too. Yeah, see, me too. We got the Me Toos.
Mm-hmm. Right here.
Right, Rose Feather Light.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
May I say this? I know it seems like it's a limited conversation. I'm going to say it that way because I haven't seen it spring up a lot. I think if Scotty's on this line, he'll probably agree with me. I don't think in no way I would try to take the shine off you ladies and anybody in the female gender community. One thing I do need to say is that, and I don't want to share too much, but I'll give this much, is that the reason why I wanted to incorporate this Me Too among us as a whole is because of the untold stories of black male rape. And reason why I know this probably might not be the right platform, but if you'll bear with me, this is the only reason why I think it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Reason why I think we can't separate, we can't put he or she in it when it comes to us as a people. Mm-hmm. This is a totality when it comes to black folk. Mm-hmm. And to be quite honest, there are more stories of black males being raped than black women. Reason why I say that, because it's not my preference, my opinion. You have to look at the dynamics. Who is the greatest threat to keep down? It's the male. Mm-hmm. And that's why the the buck breaking method was invented. So you would have to use that more often than you would have to use just the desirable type of methods, because when raping black women, it became more of not only just a controlled dominant thing, but it was pleasure. But I think it was greater pleasure when they were able to break the spirit of the black male. The combination of mother and father, once broken, it can't prevail anything but malfunctions. And that's all we're doing. That's what we're a product of, a malfunction. This is my opinion. Once again, I'm not a professor or a doctor. I'm just going off my own experience. So why I said I'm saying that to say this. I myself, as a young person, can remember when I was introduced to sex, and it wasn't on my own accord. It wasn't by my own desire. And it wasn't even of an age over 10 years old. Mind you, I grew up in the South, born and raised. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't introduced to me by a male. It was introduced to me by a female. And the way it was done, I never thought about it until later, because the culture is, when you're growing up like that, you're told that you're a stud to get, untrained, unskilled sexual activity. You know, so when we're put in a position to say, oh, you're a stud because you're getting all the ladies, we don't never really truly have sexual education. So the reality of what I had to come to the conclusion of had started dawning on me right about the same time Scotty started putting his stuff out. Black males are overlooked in this picture, and I don't want us to be put above you ladies, because we can't even talk about this if we don't even talk about the whole black family. So we shouldn't even isolate any one of us as the face of colonial rape upon us. It's all for one and one for all when it comes to that subject. So that's why I'm saying Me Too is really the black folks hashtag, or the black family's hashtag worldwide. But somehow somebody got in there and stole our story and put it, and that's what's happening to us even constantly on the regular. We keep getting our voice stole, our narrative stole, with these one-liner trends on tweets and stuff like that. But that is truly our life story. Each one of us can share a story from me to you ladies. Somebody has put you in a position to compromise your morals at one point in time, against your consent.
Right.
And I have been a man that have been told I'm well endowed, and so that's not a compliment to me, because you're not my woman. So it's not like I'm really sitting up like, oh yeah, I'm the man. You see what I'm saying? So those stories don't get told. We're not ever asked, how did that make you feel that, you know, this woman want to hug on you every time you come around? I don't like it.
And touching on your chest and
don't even have to do that. Just want to hug you. I don't even. I like hugging, but I'm saying I don't just want to be expected. I got to hug you because you want to get your feel off me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much. And let's talk again very soon, because maybe we can develop something where we can actually have men come on and share their stories. I think that that's been the problem in the past. We haven't really had men willing to open up as much and share and share those stories. That's why I applauded Terry Crews when he spoke about it. I applauded Scotty when he made his comments about it, and any other brother. I have a friend who was sexually assaulted, a male friend that was sexually assaulted. So it happens. It happens. Let me see if Brother Otis, did you want to come back on and share something? If you're still there, Brother Otis.
How you doing?
Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Doing
namaste.
Okay.
I've been trying to run my mouth, but I'm going to say this and hope it doesn't cause any dissension. I sent you that article talking about Tarana Burke, because she actually started this about 10 years ago and was still using dial-up, and I ran across it because of an incident with my young son in junior high, and I was explaining something to him and his friends. So I remembered the incident when it came up. And once again, this is about how capital, people with money, tend to change things. This lady actually started this, and it was in the black community. There were no white folks involved in it. What I do give one white person credit for, and I put the article up to show you that there are some decent white people. Alyssa Milano used that hashtag and then was called on it by Black Twitter saying, "You didn't create this." She came forward when she learned that it was done in 2007. She actually contacted Burke and made the reporting news people. I can't remember who first wrote the article, but whoever put her first article out, she went back to them and told them, hey, I didn't know that this was being used 10 years ago. Now I'm going to take that to something else. I hear all the things about make it inclusive to black males and all that, and I'm for that because I worked around the prison system for a while, and I've actually been friends with people who were in the prison systems from Arizona right on through to Virginia, and I've had a constant battle with them because they only see it as a place to make a dollar, and I'm telling you, no, you're working with an oppressive state. You need to find another profession. Just having a black face on it won't do. But I'm going to say this. I feel bad at 64 that we as a people have not learned when someone gets a limelight, it's not your time to holler, "Hey, what about me?" Your time should be built on supporting them if they have a just cause and not letting things just go temporarily. If we had built up Me Too supporting black women, a year from now, it could be expanded. But you cannot make any headway when all you do is holler about, "I'm not on the bus." Get the bus rolling, get it strong, make it permanent, and you can expand and incorporate the other areas that were missed when you first started the program. You cannot come up with a perfect program from inception. It has to be fluid. It has to be built on timing and when you awake people. And that's what I get upset when I see on social media all these people hollering about who got raped the most. There is no rape the most. This is a suppressive system that's been getting both of us, and gender doesn't matter. I agree with that. But we still should have focused on getting black women in the limelight, doing the Me Too, and 6 months from now, seeing them come on with their platform and saying, "We're expanding this to cover so-and-so." I hope you get what I'm saying to you. We tear ourselves down sometime by trying to get the perfect automobile or the perfect method, when the truth is we need to build it strong, then expand. I'll mute.
I get it. Mm-hmm. Yes,
hello, ladies.
Yes, Scotty, what's up?
Hey, I would like to just piggyback off of some oldest comments, because what prompted me, and I'm going to be honest, it made me angry, because I've been sexually harassed. I can't think of a job where I wasn't sexually harassed either. Mm. And I don't even like talking about, but when I was in the military, a gay man sexually assaulted me while I was in my sleep. But what me got me angry, and then bringing on Dr. Tommy Curry and talking about how men suffer from this too, is because of that one black woman who they seem to give her a platform, who wanted to turn the Me Too into all black men are rapists, all black men are killers. I can't even remember her name, but she was on Roland Martin last week. And I even went at her on Twitter. And you know, because this story still hasn't went national, but 900 teen boys were raped in prison and filed a class action lawsuit in Michigan 2 years ago. It just reached the appeals court. So that's why I wanted to interject my side into it, because I was seeing it. I was seeing, not everyone, but I was seeing that people were using that to engage in black male bashing like that woman was. And all black men are not rapists, and we're not all killers. So that's why I wanted to, you know, interject our stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The stories definitely need to be shared and told, explored, thoroughly investigated, and discussed. So however we decide to do it, it just needs to happen. So I appreciate you sharing. Scotty, thank you. Ramon, thank you. Mr. Otis. Delt, you've been a little quiet. You want to share anything before we... Yeah, Black Rose is speaking up. I'm always sharing my stories, but there's some stories that I have not shared because I was speaking to a friend of mine that really wants me to come out, and this is a high-profile person. I'll just talk about that a little bit later maybe, because we're running out of time. But there's just been so many instances of abuse and sexual assault that we've experienced, and just the thought of it, it's just, oh my goodness, just makes me have anxiety. But Delta, you want to share anything, and then we're going to get ready to go into our breathing.
I'm glad it's coming to light, and I'd like to say, however you get your story out, it's okay with me, long as you get the story out and let people know what happened to you. Because I was telling someone the other day, and this is a story that I kept for years and I never told anybody. And I only told my husband since I've been married and got grown. I remember one time my mother sent me to the store, me and my sisters, years ago. You could just walk. I'm trying to hurry. You just walk to the store. They could send you to the store and get whatever. And I remember this man. It was like a flashback. And don't never let people tell you you can't have a flashback, because that's a lie. You can have a flashback.
Yeah.
I had a flashback. And I remember this man separating me from my sister. And he tucked me aside. And I remember the man just falling all over me. And I was a little girl. And I think I was maybe by eight or seven. I remember I was little, but I didn't tell my mother, I didn't tell my father, I didn't tell nobody, because I was scared they was going to whoop me because I let something happen.
Right.
So you can have a moment, and I can understand why a lot of these women are coming out, because they're coming out. People say, well, why they held it so long? Mm-hmm. They got the courage when they saw other people come out. Then they started coming out. Then once one more come out, then that gives them strength, and it receives off of it. And it's giving people strength where they didn't have the voice to say anything. Now people got the strength to say it.
Right.
So, and like,
well, just
me,
like it used to be a time when you couldn't. Just like it used to be a time when you couldn't say that your husband raped you, or people will look at you as if you were foolish if you said, my boyfriend raped me, my fiance raped me, my husband raped me.
Or your uncle, or your cousin.
Yeah. You dare not say anything about anything. You were taught
to keep it in the family and keep it quiet.
Right.
That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. And you were made to feel like the bad person. Like you said, Delta Cougar, you were made to feel like, you know, why did you let this happen? You know? Mm-hmm. So the child is feeling in some way that they're responsible. I agree with you about the women coming out. One of the things that I wanted to share, we don't have a lot of time to speak on it, but briefly, I just wanted to let the audience know that when a person is a victim to sexual abuse, whether it's man or woman, shame and fear are the emotions that they feel, and this has to do with your chakras, your throat chakras, speaking your truth. With men, it's hard for them to actually share with someone that I was actually raped and I'm a man. With children, they don't feel that their parents will believe them. They're told not to tell anybody or you'll be hurt or somebody else will be hurt. So this is carried with them for years and years and years. And it's very difficult for them to actually face this. And by actually opening up and speaking about it, it's part of healing. When you keep that inside of you, it just festers. And it affects a person, not just emotionally, but also this affects your chakra. And it has to do with physical symptoms as well, like chronic tonsillitis, loss of voice, constant clearing your throat, thyroid issues. This is all in the throat chakra. Not being able to say or speak out about what happened to you. The shame and the fear. So I'm with you on that. It's making a lot of people feel better to go on with their lives, to just speak up about it. They're not trying to hurt anybody. They're trying to heal.
Well, I think we need to have just more discussion. Maybe in each show, at least like 5 or 10 minutes to just kind of talk and give people a chance to open up and share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, then. So you have a little Love the Body and Breathing for us?
Okay, that was a little of my Love the Body with the chakra there showing how it's affected. Okay. With sexual assault. So I want everybody to we've talked some very deep, heavy things here. So just relax and breathe. I mean, like really breathe with a deep breath. Breathe from your belly. Keep your chest still. Breathe from your belly, your lower stomach. Take a deep breath, inhale, stomach balloons outward, exhale, and it goes flat, goes towards your spine. And just shake your body. We're just going to do a little shaking for like 30 seconds. I know it's 11 o'clock, but just shake. Just stand up and shake. Shake your heels, shake your ankles, shake your legs, your knees, your thighs, your buttocks, your fingers. Your hands, your arms, your elbows, and please don't forget your shoulders because we hold so much of our tension there. Keep your neck straight. Don't wow your brains. Close your eyes and smile. Shaking is one of the fastest ways to eliminate stress. So when you get stressed out at work, just stand up and shake. Don't matter what people say. Just shake and smile. Don't smile at them. Smile at yourself. Smiling is another way to get rid of stress. So shake and smile. Tell stress to get the hell out. And just relax. So we will see you again next week. We have another guest coming in next week. Please tune in. This is a soul singer, Chris James. He had some very good records out back in the day, R&B soul singer. He's got a book out called How Music Saved My Life, and it is so interesting. So very, very interesting. Oh my gosh. So please join us next week. Take care. We love you. Namaste. Thank you for listening.
Namaste.
Thank you for joining us. See you next week.
And good night.